So in Tampa, 22 people were arrested, ages 12 to 21. In Orlando, 9 people arrested. In Chicago, 8 arrested. In Vegas, 70 arrested during these teen takeovers. Here in Detroit, over 100 have been detained. There were a couple of arrests in that shooting of a 14-year-old, a 16-year-old, and a 17-year-old were taken into custody. There's been a number of parental responsibility citations that have been issued all during these teen takeovers.
Yes.
And the question is why are they happening, A? And B, are they really serious? Is this something that we should be concerned about? I know that me, who I don't live in the city, I come to the city, I work in the city. It is problematic when you think of all the businesses that are down here.
Absolutely.
All the businesses that are being impacted, all the big shows and games that we've got downtown, and people coming in from all over the metro area. It is a problem for them.
And people coming from other states when we have big events downtown. You know, they don't want to, you know, come here and feel like they're in some type of danger from, you know, from young people.
Kristen Nicole Henning is the Bloom Professor of Law and the director of the Juvenile Justice Clinic Initiative at George Washington, is it?
It's in Georgetown.
Georgetown. I'm so sorry. At Georgetown.
That's okay.
Thank you for joining us this morning. We really appreciate it. Let's talk a little bit about this, because this is something that you've been watching pretty significantly. Why are these popping up all over the place?
Well, I think social media makes it easier, you know, and faster to gather young people together, you know, in public spaces. But, I mean, when we think about it, it is no different than what we have seen, you know, over the years with young people gathering, whether it's, you know, after or before a football game, or, you know, there were skateboard parks. I mean, we can think, you know, bonfires, you know, beach over spring break, the series of these that we have seen over time. And so I think in many ways, it's no different. I think the questions that we, you know, need to ask are, you know, what are the kids in need of? Why are they gathering? You know, are there other alternative safe spaces for them to go and be and feel welcome and socialize, which is exactly what we want young people to do.
And, you know, Kristen, the mayor here in Detroit, Mary Sheffield, you know, she's really big on youth. She's really invested in youth. And she invited some of the people, some of the kids who started the takeovers to her office. Now they're part, some are part of the administration. They have a whole youth section. They do these things called kickbacks where they're, you know, downtown on the waterfront, and they have DJs and, you know, they have food trucks, and they're down there and they're dancing and having a good time. But those are the kids who want to really actually come downtown and have a good time. You got the other ones who want to come down and have trouble. They're not going to be at the meeting. They're not coming down to the kickback. They want to start trouble. How do you deal with those?
Yes. And let me just quickly just say shout out to the mayor for doing that. I've read her interviews and seen her interviews, and really hats off. Here's the thing, though, with the very few young people who are engaged in delinquent behavior, we need effective what we call public health interventions. You know, and what does that look like? That means making sure we are providing a continuum of mental health support for those young people, that we are working diligently to figure out and understand the root causes of their crime. So, for example, many of those young people have experienced trauma themselves, either in their family, in their community, in some way. Are we addressing that? Without stigmatizing those young people? Are we providing vocational opportunities, mentoring opportunities? Are they getting adequate one-on-one tutorial educational support in the right settings, those kinds of things? And what we find is that it's not that the teen takeover itself, the large gathering itself, that it's the problem. It's that we as a community need to work and serve those young people who are hurting the most and who need the most from the community. Because those folks are going to engage in delinquent behavior, whether they're in that teen takeover, as it's called, or whether they're, you know, in their own communities.
So you don't believe that policing necessarily should play a role here, that arrests should be made, things like that. There needs to be more opportunities for them to seek, you know, some sort of assistance if they need it.
I do lean heavily in the direction, because the research is clear that the more effective interventions are the public health interventions. But let me just say, with regard to policing, you know, the punitive interventions, the arrests. So, for example, when I hear you talk about 70 arrests in some locations, 100 kids being detained, we have to ask ourselves, to what end and for what purpose? And were those young people actively engaged in serious harm to businesses and to other people?
If a crime is committed, then exactly. That action would need to be taken.
But I want to say to you, the serious crime that's a significant harm to other people. And that might include vandalism to a particular building. But a lot of what we see is young people out after curfew is considered a crime, right? Or disorderly conduct for being loud is considered a crime. So I just wanted to level set a little bit with response to that. But yes, the young people who are engaged in the most serious, the shooting that hurt someone else. Yes, we need police intervention for that. But the routine intervention of young people is actually more harmful than helpful. It increases trauma, which leads to further arrest and resentment of police officers. So the alternatives are really important in those low-level, you know, nonviolent offenses. It's really important to have alternatives to policing.
Professor Kristen Nicole Henning at Georgetown, thank you so much for your time this morning. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you both.
Yeah, you got it.
You're welcome.
You got it. I disagree with that.
I do as well. I mean, listen, you got people who are arrested for curfew, but we have a curfew. You get taken in. Now, she says, okay, well, a lot of these kids are acting up, have some problems at home and maybe some mental issues and those kind of things. They need places to go. Well, the mayor is providing places for you to go. I'm sure the police are talking to them when they have them in custody and saying, hey, this is what we have available. But if you don't want to take part of it, what do you do?
Great point. I think that's exactly right. Now, again, whether or not you think money should be allocated towards something like that as a City of Detroit resident or somebody who's invested in this is a completely different story, and we could have that conversation.
Yeah.
But if those opportunities are there for you and you're choosing not to participate, then you go out and are doing things you shouldn't be doing,
right.
Well, then all of a sudden, all bets are off.
I agree.
Then if you are breaking the law, if you are doing, I don't think vocational training is going to help in that situation,
no.
At least not in that moment.
There has to be some, you know, law enforcement intervention in there for when you break the law.
Again, it's very simple. We talk about lawlessness. You've heard lawlessness a lot.
Yeah.
And this is to a much minor degree. Okay, this isn't people going out, looting, robbing, all the more serious stuff,
yeah.
Right? Carjackings, things like
exactly.
that. We haven't seen that, at least. But there needs to be some sort of accountability.
Well, you don't want it to escalate to that.
Yes.
We got to a shooting.
Certainly.
You know?
So. AIPAC at the center of a lot of these races in Michigan. We'll talk about it next.